You're listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and I'm your host. Greetings to all the tribes of Israel who are the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Scandinavian, and Nordic peoples, our brothers and sisters around the world. Yes, it's true, ladies and gentlemen. The title of this message is The Fables of the Jews. It's likely to be a multi-part because there's so many fables. We're going to find out what the Bible says about these fables of the Jews, because most so-called Christians have never even heard of this. Now, I've touched on this in a couple of my shows, but I felt that it was very important. I felt that it was very important to get this across to you so that you can understand why you're believing things you're believing that you shouldn't be believing. Now, first of all, I heard Andy and Pastor Dan on Bloodlines this morning. And Pastor Dan brought up something about the Khazarian Mafia. Ladies and gentlemen, I have to clear this up. Now listen, before we go into the biblical examples of the fables, this here is one of the fables, the Khazarian Mafia. Oh no, it's true that the Khazarians joined the Jews and ascribed to Judaism, but I must explain this, and I believe I've explained it several times, but let's get it straight. Now, this Khazarian Mafia that we keep hearing in today's so-called truth movement is put forward by a man named Ben Fulford. Ben Fulford is a Jew, and so why, if he's exposing his fellow Jews, why does he keep using the term Khazarian Mafia? Why doesn't he just say, it's the Jews? And you say, well, you can't say that on that particular media. Well, yes, you can. But I'm going to tell you why he's saying Khazarian Mafia. There's been a movement for the Jews for a long time, and they always play this game. As you know, there are the Jews, and then there are the Zionist Jews, correct? Well, in Benjamin Friedman's 1961 speech, I had heard that speech. And when I talked to Eustace Mullins, he said I knew right away what that was, that it was a fake and that it was no good. He didn't explain to me what he was talking about. And when I had heard the recording, miraculously, they had snipped the last, say, 15 minutes off, approximately. I can't tell you exactly how much. But there it is again. That's where it's always, well, most always placed. You see, in that last 15 minutes, after Mr. Friedman, the Jew, who became a Catholic, hello, Mother Babylon, he told all kinds of truth. He appeared to be a man that was sincere in telling the truth. But when you got to the last 15 minutes, which I never had heard, but Eustace had, after I heard it, I immediately knew why Eustace said what he said. I was perplexed at the time when he told me this over the phone. And I guess I didn't ask him, well, why are you saying that? I think that what I was thinking at the time is, why is he saying this? The guy told all kinds of truth. I don't see anything wrong with it. Well, now you know. So what happens is, here's what the Jews are playing you with now. And I've explained this before, but I think if I keep explaining it, and there are new people listening, I think you're going to get it sooner or later. Okay. Now, we know the Hegelian dialectic is played between the Jews and the Zionist Jews. Okay, we know that that is the same old Hegelian dialectic, two opposing forces that eventually become synthesized. So they knew that anyway. So it's a game. Now, this game is different. You see, of late, the Jew knows that we're finding them out. So they have to appear redeemable. They have to show some good fruits, even if they're not really good fruits. They're just giving up of intel that has already, you know, been out there anyway. But it's in the guise of telling the truth. How can somebody that tells the truth be evil? The good Jew, the bad Jew scenario. So what happens is, Mr. Friedman did the same thing. They blamed everything on the Khazarian Jews, which they claim are fake Jews. Why are they fake? Because they joined Judaism. They ascribed to Judaism back when King Bulon was there. But you see, the problem is these Khazarians are not only merchants, but they have Hittite blood and probably Edomite blood in them as well. Not probably, but they do. Canaanite, Edomite, Hittite. You remember that Esau married Hittite women? So they are true Jews, regardless of the facts of what these Jews are playing. But what the premise is that these Khazarian Jews are the ones that are doing all these evil things around the world. They're the bankers. They're the merchants. They're the ones that are perpetrating evil in our countries, promoting homosexuality, selling body parts. A busload of Jews just got bagged. They're selling body parts. How come you don't see Anglo-Saxon people out there selling body parts? Now, the idea is that 95% of Jewry today is Khazarian. They were also known as Ashkenazi or Ashkenazim Jews. Nazi, N-A-Z-I, Ashkenazi. That was General Bull Carter's last name. Remember Hogan's Heroes? Leon Ashkenazi was probably his stage name, but okay. Nazi. So if 95% of Jewry is this Khazarian mafia, that leaves us how much, ladies and gentlemen? Yes, 5%. Well, those are the real Jews. The good ones, you know. The ones, they're really from the tribe of Judah. And they're against those settlements in Israel. Yes. Like Michael Wiener. These are the good Jews. The real Jews. As opposed to these fake evil Khazarian mafia. So what he's trying to do, this Fulford Jew, is he's out pretending he's telling the truth and he's making up lots of stories as he goes along. And he keeps using the term Khazarian mafia. Sounds good, doesn't it? You know the Jews are a mafia anyway. You do know that's true. You do know that their religion is not a religion at all. That it is a political movement in the guise of a religion so that it can take advantage of all the advantages being a religion gives a political movement. And so, this 5%, this is bullcrap, as you well know, the 5% of these so-called real Jews are not of the tribe of Judah, are not white. They may have race mixed, and they might look white. But they're not. You know the swarthy ones that aren't white. You know the ones with the hooked noses and the crab eyes, beady little eyes, and the sloped foreheads. You know, you must do a study on skulls, the skulls of human beings, and you will learn a lot. It's called phrenology. And the Third Reich was very interested in phrenology and did a lot of measuring of skulls to find out how to identify these scoundrels. So, I wouldn't spend a lot of time listening to Ben Fulford. He's full of it. And now you know what the Khazarian term is meant to do. It's another splitting of things. It's another good Jew, bad Jew fable. It's a fable. Although they are true Jews. A Jew is a Jew is a Jew is a Jew. A snake is a snake is a snake is a snake. Plain and simple. So let us move on and see what the biblical aspect of this is. Okay, before I go into this, let's say we should look up a couple of words here. How about fable, for instance? Now, I want you to pay attention to this definition of fable. Now, you know about Aesop's fables. And they were usually ones with animals that act like human beings, right? And that's one of these definitions. But listen to this. And I'm sure if you went back to an older dictionary, the older the dictionary, the better. Because Newspeak has been in operation for a long time. Yes, they are deleting words and deleting words and deleting words all the time. And then accenting code words that they wish to use against you to shut your mouth by calling you names. Now you, dear listener, must get over this fable of believing in these names and being afraid of being called names. Names, key words that the Jews have accented and used over and over and over until the public got brainwashed into it. So what I'm involved in now is using these terms over and over and over so that you're used to hearing them and it doesn't trigger the mind control inside of you. Your brain has been brainwashed by these people to when you hear the word white, it triggers off all kinds of things in your brain. In the same way as the blacks, I explained this to some black people one day, and I said to them, let me show you how you're being played by the Jews. I said, if I call you black, you have no problem with this. If I was to call you a Negro, you'd be slightly perturbed. But what does Negro mean? Well, it means black in Spanish. Have you ever heard of frijoles negro? That means black beans. So if I call them black, there's no problem. But if I call them Negro, we're touching some feelings here now. But the real key word, nigger, is the trigger word to send them off into a wild frenzy and to make them want to commit bodily harm. Now, what does nigger mean? You see, there is a land in Africa called Niger, and it means black. And the Jew, as they always do, because they like to use things to dumb us down, they put the extra G in there and misspelled it, so you may not make the connection. The black people agreed with me. But even when I said, you know, I said the N-word to be kind of nice. I don't really use nigger, but, you know, maybe. But they understood it, and they said, you're right. I can't believe what you just told me. They don't know these things. This is how words are used against you. That is programming. See? If I use the word black, we got no problem. If I use the word Negro, well, we might have a little problem. I use the word nigger, we've got big problems. But they all mean black. I tell you, it's just amazing that people can't even get something that simple. Well, in the same way as they use code words against us, we've just got to become immune to them and not respond. As I've said before, sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Come on, man up here, will you? You afraid of somebody calling you a racist because you see that you've lost two-thirds of your race in the last 150 years and you want to help preserve your race? Somebody calls you a white supremacist? We'll go into this some other time, but you get my point. So let's find out what a fable is. A fictitious narrative or statement. Fictitious narrative or statement. A legendary story of supernatural happenings. Remember that one now. A legendary. Can you think of a legendary story with supernatural happenings that might have happened in World War II Germany? Yes. Now, this is important. B here. This next definition. A narration. Remember that this is a fable. A narration intended to enforce a useful truth. And you could just say a useful lie is the way that the Jews use it. A narration intended to enforce. If you don't believe in this, if you don't believe in the 6 million and you question it in any way, we'll put you in jail. A narration intended to enforce a useful, let's say, so-called truth. Okay? That's a fable. Now let's go to the biblical examples. I hope this is getting through to you, ladies and gentlemen. I hope we're getting through. Titus. The Apostle Paul is speaking to Titus. I'm going to start. This is Titus chapter 1, verse 10. Now listen very, very carefully. Don't let yourself drift from this. This is the word. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. Who might that be? Who might that be? Now, the circumcision was for true Israelites, but the Jews have used that to help them pretend that they are God's chosen people, which is another of the fables. Listen again. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. Who's interested in money? Most of all. Now, you can also include the TBN crew. So, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. Pay attention. Not giving heed to Jewish, not Israelite, Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Now, what did Yeshua, I'm going to go on a little further, but what did Yeshua say to these Jew Pharisees and Sadducees? That they made the traditions of men supersede the law of God. The commandments of men, tradition. That's what the Talmud is. It's a bunch of laws, tons and tons of laws on washing your hands and bathroom demons and all kinds of craziness, having sex with 3-year-old girls and boys and all kinds of things, all kinds of holy things. Another fable. But, so, these Jews turn from the truth. And they write all kinds of commandments. So when he says, this witness is true, wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. That would include Mother Babylon, who changes God's word. You are not to add to Yahweh's law. You are not to take away from his law. If you do so, you will be cursed. So he's warning you that these Jews tell a lot of stories, tell a lot of fictitious stories. And as I said before, do you think they stopped telling these stories back in the time of the Apostle Paul? Do you think they've suddenly had a change in heart and stopped telling these stories through the centuries? Well, if you think they have stopped, you're in for a severe... You're going to be in shock. So he continues in verse 15. Unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. Pay attention. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Now, if that doesn't explain to you about the Jews and the TBN crew and Mother Babylon, the Catholic Church, just listen again now. Unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. Is there anything pure about the Jews other than evil? Other than their propensity to destroy? Remember, they are living dead things that are out to corrupt man. Living dead things is how the Apostle Peter described them when you really look into it in the Hebrew. So their conscience and their mind is defiled. They profess that they know Yahweh, don't they? They say that they read the Torah. They rock back and forth like mentally ill patients because they truly are mentally ill. I mean, for real, man. I'm not just saying something. I'm telling you, they're mentally ill. When you have demons inside of you, you will show signs of being mentally ill. These people, the mental hospitals in America, especially in New York that they started out with, were made for Jews. They weren't made for Anglo-Saxon people. They profess that they go by the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. But this is all another fable. See, because, but in works they deny him. They profess that they know God before the peoples of the world. They dress up. They look religious. They look mentally ill to me, but maybe to you they look religious. But in works they deny him. And it says being abominable. You see, they're very abominable. They promote homosexuality. They're stealing organs and selling them around the world. They have a stock market that is all deception and theft. They have a money system that is based on lies. Everything about these people denies Yahweh. Being abominable and disobedient, and to every good work, reprobate. That describes the Jews to me. Now, if you see them as a holy people, I would begin to question yourself on what really is or what constitutes holy people. Yes, we all have sins. Everyone has sinned and come short of the glory of Yahweh. But these people sin and break the laws of Yahweh and are an abomination to Yahweh, disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. There are no good works of the Jews. Every work is for their own selves, which we will discuss later. Now, let's go to another example. 1 Timothy chapter 1. The Apostle Paul is speaking again. Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ, himself, I'll say. I leave the word Lord out. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Here again, listen, prick your ears right up like a German shepherd. You ready now? I'll read this again. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some of them that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables, and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in the faith. So do. These endless genealogies are also called foolish genealogies. And what he's talking about with these genealogies is he's talking about the Greeks have genealogies to the Greek gods that relate them to the Greek gods. Now, when he says, don't give heed to fables and endless genealogies, he also says in another part, foolish genealogies, he's not talking about the genealogies that the Bible gives us. Those genealogies are very, very important and very instrumental in showing who is who and who is Jew. So don't pay attention to these genealogies that are foolish, stupid, and made up fables, which minister questions. What he means is which makes people ask more questions rather than just, you know, edifying that which is already in the faith. And so he continues, now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. What does unfeigned mean? Genuine, sincere. Some of the synonyms are sincere, genuine, real, true, honest, unaffected, unforced, heartfelt, wholehearted. Continuing in verse 6. From which some having swerved have turned aside unto vain jangling. You know what that means. Talk that is useless. Desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm, but we know that the law is good. If a man use it lawfully, yes, this is true. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers or fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers. Ladies, are you a man stealer? For liars? Or men, are you a woman stealer? Are you stealing someone else's wife? So I'm going to continue. For whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed Yahweh, which was committed to my trust, Paul says. Next example, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Did he say to Timothy, we should not judge? Remember what I read to you about the Pope, what he said, all those things he said? It's the very opposite of what is told to Timothy right here. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. In other words, the chastisement that we receive from the Father is love. By reproving and rebuking, you're restoring somebody to pureness. Because he goes on here, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. You see, these teachers that they have out there today, like Murdoch, telling them that Yahweh wishes to bless their finances. He doesn't say Yahweh, he says the Lord, Baal. Yes. Or the Jewish version of Jesus. Another fable, ladies and gentlemen. See, it's come to the point now, what he's talking about, that people will not stand. If you are to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine, they will walk out of your church because they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. You know the ones like Schuller, Robert Schuller. He's not around anymore. He'd never practically ever bring the name of Jesus up or anything to do with it. But he would say things like, you can do it. You're wonderful. You have abilities. There's nothing you can't achieve if you put your mind to it. See, people love flattery. You know why? Because, again, the enemy deceives us with feelings. Why do they love flattery? Because it feels good. It sounds good when you tell me, oh, you're wonderful, and There's nothing you can't do, and you are love, and you have great love. And the Lord wants to bless your finances. If you would just hold your wallet out towards the television set, I'll gladly pray to Baal for you, says Mike Murdoch. And he continues, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. In your Judeo-Christian church, which is a hybrid meld between Judaism and Christianity, which is impossible, which is an abomination to Yahweh God, they have all kinds of fables in Judeo-Christianity, ladies and gentlemen. And it's not, I'm not telling you anything new, except that it's a meld. That it's the Jewish version of Christianity. I coined that term, as far as I know, and I'm going to keep on harping on it and harping on it, and you may wish to turn your ears away from me so that you can be comfortable with your fables that the Jew has provided for you. Judeo-Christianity is a hybrid religion which is forbidden by Yahweh God. It is an abomination to Yahweh God. You're calling him a Jew. You're calling Jesus a Jew. You're telling him that his enemies are his chosen people. You are supporting his enemies and will kill the people of your own race and rebuke them if they try to tell you the truth, that you are being fooled by Jewish fables. Fables. Fictitious tales. Now, I wouldn't want to hurt your feelings. I mean, that would be the end of the world. It's just one of the most horrible things that could ever occur is your feelings being hurt. Well, you know what? I think your feelings need to be hurt a lot so that you get used to it and then you're not afraid of it anymore. Same as the code words that the Jews make for us. Racist, white supremacist, all this nonsense. The word Jew alone makes people twitch all over the place. I've just mentioned the word Jew to people, and I've watched them back away from me, and their heads starting to bob up and down, and I touch their programming is what I'm trying to tell you. So he finishes off right here in verse 5 and says, and there's more after this, but this is as far as I brought it. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Now, let's move on a little further. 2 Peter chapter 1, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to begin, I believe, in verse 10. Let me just have a sip of coffee, please. The Apostle Peter says, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. So I would pay attention here now. I would pay good attention here. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall not fall. Ye shall never fall. Verse 11. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Savior Jesus Christ. Leaving the word Lord out again. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. Though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet. I think it's necessary. As long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Now, I want you to pay attention to the word this tabernacle. You think he's in a church and he's referring to the church, don't you? Think again. The body that we are in, the kingdom of God lives within us. Therefore, this body is a tabernacle. This is why you're not to eat pig. This is why you're not to defile the body. Yea, I think it necessary, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, this body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this, my tabernacle. You see? Just as Yeshua said the same thing, that he would be killed. Peter knew he was going to be killed. Knowingly that shortly I must put off this, my tabernacle, even as Yeshua hath shooed me. Well, he wasn't a horse and he wasn't shooed. He showed him. Let's get it straight, ladies and gentlemen. He didn't shoe him. He showed him. Or he was shown. Like the sun. Okay. Just joking around with you a little bit there. Okay, continuing in verse 15. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have things always in remembrance, these things. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. Listen, very careful. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables. You see, they were wise enough to see through these Jews' fables. You understand what I'm saying to you? Whereas you, as a Judeo-Christian, and I, at one time, was as well, and was fooled by these fables. However, I was able to come out of it by the mercies of Yahweh, and by because of my relentless pursuit of the truth. You must seek the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you don't seek the truth, you're probably not going to be set free. Because the call to action is that you must seek the truth. This will be work. You will not get paid for it. I mean, if you can get paid for it, that would be wonderful. If you think by going to church on Sunday and listening to somebody like Joel Osteen or one of these Hagee characters or any of them, if you think that that is actually seeking the truth, you have been severely deceived. The problem with you people is that it rather than following Yahweh, you are following men. And if you follow men, I've told you, don't follow me, follow Yahweh. seek the truth. You may listen to what I tell you, and you may get a lot out of it, but I'm just a simple man speaking the truth to you. Seek ye the truth, and rather follow Yahweh. Don't follow me. Don't follow John Hagee. Don't follow Mike Murdoch, because they will lead you right into the pit. How deep is your trust in man rather than God? That's a question you need to ask yourself. Yourselves. How deep is your trust in man? How sure are you that they're telling you the absolute truth? I'm telling you different. I'm showing you that they're lying to you, and I'm proving it to you. However, don't just believe me for believing's sake. Seek it for yourself and make sure I'm telling you the truth. Otherwise, you're just following another man who will then again lead you into the pit. First thing you do is you pray to Yahweh. And you say, Yahweh, I don't know what the truth is. Please show me the truth. Please help me to understand. Please don't let me be fooled by Jewish fables. I sincerely want to know the truth, and I will make a commitment to seek the truth. And I ask you, on your part of this commitment, to help me find it, to show it to me, to help me understand it. And I ask that in the mighty name of Yahweh. And if you pray such a prayer, as long as you're not a Jew, because you're not going to, you might as well just forget about it. And if you're not an Israelite, well, everybody needs to know the truth, but I suppose it doesn't matter if you're not an Israelite, because Yahweh will show you what the real truth is. He'll show you that you've been lied to by the Jews, just like we've been lied to by the Jews, and that the other races of the earth have been used by the Jews to go against us. I just want you to pay attention that one of the fables of the Jews is that they are white. Now that usefulness of being white is no longer of any value, because they've turned all the other races against us, they're now coming out and saying they are not white. And they're teaching their children that they are not white, which is true. They're not white. Which is another fable. So in verse 16, he says, and I repeat, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables..." Cunningly devised, cunningly devised fables. When we made known unto you the power and coming of Yeshua the Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Okay. Now, when we talk about the Holocaust, now we're going to go into some of the fables. I told you the purpose of the Holocaust story. Now, anytime you want to seek it out, you can find a video on YouTube, and it will show you this. Irish fellow, I believe he is, will show you paper after paper after paper. These are newspapers from the early 1920s about how 6 million Jews were being persecuted or starved or mistreated and all kinds of things. Now, this is way before Hitler came into power in 1933. It will show you newspaper after newspaper after newspaper about this figure, 6 million. I call it the Holocaust, the H-O-L-L-O-W cost. Because there's so many holes in this particular story that it just doesn't hold up. The Jewish soap, another fable of the Jews. I told you the purpose of the Holocaust story. What it was designed to do, they made sure they got it out first because they knew if you found out what happened in World War II, post-World War II Germany, what we did to the Germans, killing 15 million Germans in true Holocausts like Dresden, etc., and what the Jews, these were all Jews, Jews were responsible for this through our traitor, military, mercenary, Shabbos Goy, that they control with their central bank. And when we found out what they were responsible for in Russia in the Bolshevik Revolution, that we would come after them on a Jew hunt, and they knew it. So they created this Holocaust story as a defense mechanism. It was under the auspices of many of their fables as well. The fables that they're always being persecuted. You get the message. So in other words, they put their story out first so that when people brought up Dresden in the future, if they could, you know, if people could find out about it, or if Bolshevik Russia came out, people would say, well, look what they did to the Jews in World War II Germany, so, you know, they deserve it. You see? But not only that, let's always remember that with Satan's literal offspring, these genia, generation of vipers, these race of vipers, these offspring genia of vipers, always want to make a financial profit out of their stories, their fables. And as you can see, this fable is the keynote fable of all fables of the Jews, other than they are God's chosen people and Jesus was a Jew. Those are the three top fables of the Jews. Now, I have proven to you over and over and over again that the Jews are not Yahweh's chosen people, that you will know them by their fruits, that they are the literal offspring of Satan, that their father is the devil, and we shall see this in this next chapter. Now, this is a chapter I know you've all heard before, but this time we're going to solidify a couple of things because I have my own particular teachings on this particular chapter, and I believe that once you see this, you will begin to understand that the proof in John chapter 8 not only shows that they are not God's chosen people, that they are not Yahweh's sheep, but it also proves to you that Jesus was not a Jew. Now, I told you that the Holocaust, Jews are God's chosen people, and Jesus was a Jew, are the top three fables of the Jews. And I mean, they have hundreds of fables. But these are the top three, ladies and gentlemen. So let's move to John chapter 8. We're going to start in verse 31. Then said Jesus, or Yeshua, or Yahweh in the flesh, to those Jews, not Israelites, to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now he knew they weren't going to continue in his word. However, verse 33, they answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? All right, you've all heard this before. I didn't originate this. But this tells you a little secret. Because we know that the Israelites, which are us, not the Jews, the Israelites were in bondage in Egypt, Assyria, and Babylon, and as I've said many, many times, in our own countries today. We are again in bondage. Again, we need to be delivered by Yahweh. So they revealed themselves. See, he knew this all the time, but they said it themselves. They showed him. So if they weren't in bondage with us, they were of Edom, Esau, or Canaanites, or Hittites, Jebusites, etc. So after they said, we be Abraham's seed, how can they say that we be Abraham's seed? I'll tell you how. Jacob and Esau were brothers. Jacob always followed after Yahweh and obeyed his laws. He married a woman in his own race, as he was told to do, in order to continue the seed of Abraham, in order to continue the race of Adam. Jacob had his name changed to Israel by Yahweh, and he was a white man, of course, just like Esau was. And Jacob, who became Israel, had 12 sons that became the 12 tribes of Israel, as you all should know by now. None of the 12 tribes of Israel had any Jew. None of Jacob's sons were Jews. None of Israel's sons were Jews. But what happened? What happened to Esau? Esau did not like Yahweh's laws and was disobedient. He was like Nimrod. He was into hunting. And he defied his dad Isaac and his mother Rebekah and brought a lot of problems to their home by taking wives from Hittite tribes. He's a race mixer. He did not keep his lineage pure. Do you understand what that means? He broke Yahweh's commandments. He broke Yahweh's law deliberately. And he brought these women home to the house to further shame and bring shame to the house of Isaac and Rebekah, who knew and who had warned him through his whole life not to race mix. Now, he married more than Hittite wives, And what happens is he moved to Edom. They were the seed of Abraham until that time. He race mixed so many times, you know, after his sons were, they race mixed children, they race mixed, and so on, until the point is there's practically no Adamic seed left in him. Which exposes another of the Jewish fables when they claim that they're a pure people and that they can't have immigrants in their country because they have to keep themselves pure. This is a fable, this is a lie, and you're being fooled by it. So them being any part of Abraham's seed was washed away a long, 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 long time ago. So, Yeshua answers them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever." Now, I just saw something that Yahweh just showed me right there. Now, we are known as the servants of God, but in reality, we are the sons of God. We are the literal offspring. I'm talking about the Adamic race. I'm not talking about humankind. I'm talking about the special race that came through the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who became Israel, who had the 12 sons that became the 12 tribes of Israel. So pay attention to this now, because it's another revelation, and praise be to you, Yahweh, for revealing it. I believe it's true. You make your own decision. He's speaking to the Jew, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. You thought he was just talking about himself, didn't you? Well, he is talking about himself, but I think it also is a reference to his own sons. He says, "If the Son therefore make you free, ye shall be free indeed." So it is a reference to the fact that he is the Son, but he's not the only Son of God. He really is the Son of Man. And he's been called that many times. Remember, Adam was the first Son of God. So the Son abideth forever. I believe that's a little mini revelation that the sons will abide with forever with Yahweh. "I know that ye are Abraham's seed," he's admitting to it, they were, "but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you." See, his word has no place in them. He says in another scripture that my sheep know my voice and I am known of them. But he says, "I know that you are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me." Did the Israelites seek to kill Jesus? Or Yahweh in the flesh, Yeshua? Did the Israelites seek to kill him? No, the Jews are the ones that brought that all forward. And they did get some Israelites to participate, whom later repented of it and were astonished when they realized that they believed another fable of the Jews. So he's telling these Jews, "My word hath no place in you." Did he tell that to you, dear Israelite? No. His word does have a place in us, but he tells them, "My word has no place in you," in verse 37. Now, here's the key. Verse 38. "I speak that which I have seen with my Father." My Father, Yeshua says. "And ye do that which ye have seen with your Father." Now, you can see that these two, that Jesus or Yeshua has a different father than these Jews do. Now, when he says this, you have to pay attention in verse 38. I speak that which I have seen with my father. It's capital F. Capital F. My father. Referring to Yahweh. I speak that which I have seen with my father. If he were brothers with the Jews and they were Israelites as also, they wouldn't have two different fathers. So he says and he continues, and ye, speaking to the Jews, do that which ye have seen with your father, lowercase father, lowercase father. Remember, this is John chapter 8, verse 38. Check it out for yourself. Because he says it again in verse 41. So I speak that which I have seen with my father, with a capital F, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father, lowercase F. Verse 39, they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham, like the Israelites do, for the most part. Not today, that's for sure. Do you think he would know the difference between an Israelite and a Jew? Do you think the Creator would know the difference between his own children and the offspring of Satan? I believe he would know better than you do, or better than I do. They answered unto him, and they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, or Yeshua said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Now pay attention again. Verse 40. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of Yahweh. This did not Abraham. Abraham didn't seek to kill him. And he goes on, and this is the most famous of all, of course. Verse 41, ye do the deeds of your father. Pay attention. Look it up yourself. Lowercase F. Ye do the deeds of your father. Lowercase F. Then said they unto him, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Think about that for a minute now. They're telling him that he's not born of fornication. They're telling him that they're not born of fornication. But they're lying right to the face of Yeshua, because they are born of fornication. I've told you this several times, and Eli and I have done a series on Revelation, and it'll define fornication for you. It's race mixing. We be not born of fornication. They're lying to him. They're lying right to the face of him. In the same way that their relative Cain lied right to the face of Yahweh himself, which, same thing, they're lying to Yeshua, or they're lying to Yahweh. Nothing's changed after all this time. This is in the time of Yeshua, and back in the time of Cain, their father, their forefather, their relative, Yahweh came to him and said, where's your brother? And he said, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? He lied. Yahweh knew where he was. His blood was crying from the ground. Yahweh knew it all and watched this child of the devil lie right into his face. Thus, that's why he talks about him being a murderer and a liar from the beginning. These are the relatives of the Jews. Yes, they are born of fornication. They are race mixed. They are not the seed of Abraham. In verse 42, Yeshua says unto them, if God were your father, with a capital F, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from Yahweh. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Remember, they couldn't understand. He spoke in parables. Deliberately, he did not want them to understand. But regardless, they still didn't understand. They don't understand his speech. And they cannot hear his word because they are not of his sheep. So he continues with the most famous verse that we hear all the time. But let's pay attention to this very important grammatical happenstance. How's that for a term? Ye are of your father, lowercase, the devil, and the lusts of your father, lowercase, ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Now remember, you must have the truth to be set free. Remember? Yes. See, there's no truth in him, and there's no truth in his relatives, his offspring. These living dead things that try to corrupt utterly. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it, lowercase father of it. And because I tell you the truth, see, the truth was supposed to set them free, but what did the truth would set the Israelites free. The truth would set most anybody free from lies, but the Jews can't receive the truth because there is no, they can't hear his word. They can't understand his speech because their father was a liar. And that is part of them. See, instead of when he tells them the truth, they're set free. What happens with the Jews is in verse 45, and because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? He's asking these Jews. And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? Here is the crux, the very crux in John chapter 8, verse 47. This is Yeshua telling them this, the Jews. He said, he that is of God or of Yahweh heareth Yahweh's words. Ye therefore hear them not. And why? Because ye are not of Yahweh. You are not of God, he told these Jews. Did he tell the Israelites that? Did he tell his disciples that, who were not Jews, who were Galileans, who were of the tribe of Benjamin? Did he tell them that they didn't hear it and understand? He said, no, it's for you to understand. I speak in parables to them because I don't want them to hear and understand. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye, Jews, therefore hear them not, Because ye are not of God. Period. Now, let me just dig up something right here while we're right there for a little more proof of the pudding. Yes. Do you understand that, dear listener? Did you hear what I just read you? If you did not hear and understand, you see, this is why I tell people all the time, if you're talking to somebody and they can't hear your speech and hear and understand what you're telling them about God, chances are they are not of God. Even these can be Israelites. If you have to fight tooth and nail to give somebody the truth and they cannot understand and cannot hear your speech, and you continue to labor and labor and labor and labor and labor and labor, and at the end of all your laboring, you're in the same position as you were before, chances are they're the same as the Jew. They are not of God. So therefore, you're just kicking against the pricks. It's just that simple. John chapter 10, verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. The sheep hear his voice. The sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. So when he goes on, and the parable he spoke unto them, but they understood not what the things that were that they spake unto them. Then Yeshua said unto them, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. You see, the Judeo-Christians are hearing these liars. If they were the sheep of Yahweh, they would not listen to them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but to steal and kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not, seeing the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father, capital F, knoweth me, even so I know the Father, capital F, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, does my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. Now pay attention. We're running out of time. And Jesus walked in, or Yeshua walked into the temple on Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews, not Israelites, round about him, and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Yeshua answered them, I told you, and ye believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but ye believe not. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, listen. But ye, this is verse 26. John 10, verse 26. But ye believe not. He's speaking to Jews, not Israelites. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, with a capital F, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, there is the proof of the pudding. We will speak about these things next week and probably just have another part to the fables of the Jews. But I think you have a good understanding now of what's going on. You see, the truth does not set the Jews free. When they hear the truth, they have a programming inside of them like the blacks do. When they hear the truth, it's like hearing the word nigger. When he said that he and his Father are one, the Jews took up stones again to stone him. You understand? They cannot hear the truth. Because he told the truth, he said that they sought to kill him. The truth did not set them free. The truth was a trigger word. Anything to do with the truth angered them. So if you see, you start telling people the truth in our current day, and they wish to kill you or stone you, no matter whom they may be, you know that they're not one of Yahweh's sheep. You've been listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James. Until next time, study to show thyself approved.